You know, today I cannot offer political or national freedom. However, as we just read there in Romans chapter 6, God, through his word, does offer spiritual freedom, emotional freedom, and even relational freedom. If we will but subject ourselves to the teaching of Scripture, we can be free indeed. Free indeed. You know, with what Christ did on the cross for us, we can have freedom from the fear of death. We don't have to be concerned about the afterlife. We can be freedom from emotional slavery, such as fear and worry and depression. We can be free from lustful thoughts. We can be free from compulsive behavior. We can be free from significant relational struggles. We don't have to continually engage in just having a hostile home. We don't have to do that. But what we have to do, though, is submit ourselves to the authority of Scripture, because it's only Jesus Christ, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, does he offer this freedom to us. So before we go any further, we have to put pride on the table. And we have to think this through just a minute. And the question would be like this. Specifically, how do you submit yourself to the authority of the Bible? Because, again, this recent landmark Supreme Court decision, all that is just another erosion or walking away from the authority of God's Word, which is really nothing new. It goes back to the Garden of Eden, when God said, "This is my word, and I don't want you to eat of it." And they said, "I don't think so." So we constantly erode away the authority of the word of God. But back to us here. In what areas of our lives do we think that we can live independently of God? Maybe in our future plans, in our relationships, our work, recreation, maybe in our finances. Tripp says, "I've said it many, many times, and I'll say it once more. Our problem is not in our weakness. God's grace is up to that task. Our problem is our delusions of strength that keeps us from seeking the grace that strengthens our weakness. We don't like to be weak. We don't want others to think of ourselves that way. So we act as if we know things we don't. We don't ask the questions we need to ask. We act as if we can handle things we cannot handle, and we don't seek the help that's available." You know, and that is so true. We all are trying to live independent, free lives from God. But God never created us that way. He created us to be dependent upon God, dependent upon him. And if we will again submit ourselves to the authority of God's word, then we will have freedom. Jesus said it this way in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and it's the truth that will set you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." One of the things that I'd like to just mention briefly here today is freedom from the penalty of sin. As you see it there on the screen above you, Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. It also says there in Revelation 20 that when you and I die, we will stand before God, well, editorially speaking, And there will be people who stand before God, and the books are open, and for every wrong that you have done or thought or said, or everything you didn't say and you should have, everything you didn't do and you should have, those books are open, and everyone is judged according to those works. All those works that you've committed all your life, God is taking copious notes, and he's writing all of that down. And if our name is not found written in the book of life, then we're cast into the lake of fire, and our judgment will be determined or proportionately determined by what kind of a life we live. And the really sad thing about it is that I'll make fun of my in-laws here for a minute, since they're not here to defend themselves. We went down to the in-laws for this past week, and you know what got me through it? knowing I was leaving Saturday morning. Woo-hoo, we're flying out of here. Man, I was up at 3 in the morning, couldn't wait to get out of there. Picking on them at their expense, of course. You know the really bad thing about hell? There is no end. There is no end. It would be like me staying with my in-laws for eternity. Oh, what a thought that would be. But you see what I'm saying here? Many of us, I can stick this job out 10 years to retirement, 6 years to retirement, 6 years before the boss retires or the manager retires, and we get another guy in. So I can hold it out for 6 more years or 10 more years. I can get through the summer because then school starts and the kids go to school. Yahoo! Get them out of here. I'm going nuts with these kids, which we can get freedom from that biblically, and it's not sending them away. We won't have time to talk about that. And that is that one of the sad things about eternity, a Christless eternity in hell, is that it goes forever. That is a long time. But you can be free from that. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear the penalty of your sin. You can be, as the biblical term says, saved from that. You can be saved from the penalty of sin. And we know John 3:16, you're kind of reading it there, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Freedom from the penalty of sin. Freedom. If you have any reservations, if you have any hesitations about if you were to die today, where you would spend eternity, I would encourage you to seek out one of the growth group leaders in your growth group. Talk to me. Talk to one of the ushers. Talk to somebody. Where is it on the bulletin, front or back of the bulletin? Use that contact information and reach out to us, and we'd love to show you how you can be freed from the judgment that will be upon your sin. Secondly, I want to talk just briefly a little bit about the freedom from the power of sin. And again, you saw it there in Romans chapter 6. "Reckon yourselves indeed," what? "To be dead to sin, but alive to God. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust." This is so frustrating, as we see it many times in Christendom in general. You do not have to live a life of addiction. You do not have to live a life of compulsive behaviors. You don't have to have those same thoughts again and again and again and again. The language, the fighting, the bickering, the fault finding, the name calling. We don't communicate, we fight. And we've been fighting for 30 years. Well, you know what? You don't have to fight for the next 30. You can be free from that. You can be free from the power of sin. It is just sometimes very frustrating that, I've lost my temper, I'm quick-tempered, I'm various nationalities put together, and that's just kind of the way we are. Well, without Christ, that may be true. It may be that you were brought up in a particular way, in a particular culture, where we just fought. Maybe the home you brought up, where you're brought up, and we fought. And it was survival of the fittest, but it doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. We can have freedom from those sinful habits, that sinful environment, those sinful things we've learned. We can be free from that if we want it. But there again, that's where pride comes in. Well, you know, what will they think of me if I come saying I need some help for thoughts? Well, again, I liked what Wayne put up on our sign about a month or two ago. The church is not a museum of saints. It's a what? More of a hospital or a construction zone for sinners. I mean, I'm not perfect. Good night. You all know that. None of us here are perfect. So put down that pride. Come to someone and say, "Hey, I need help. I've been struggling in this area, but I would like to be free from it." we don't have to always fight and argue. We really can sit down at the dinner table and just enjoy a nice conversation. That can't happen. We don't have to just constantly fight. We don't have to be a POW, a prisoner of war of the past. We don't have to be a prisoner of your fears. And we're going to be developing fear a little bit more in the growth groups. But, you know, you don't have to live a life of being phobic. I cannot go outside. I'm afraid of germs. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. You can continue to live that life if you want, but you don't have to. Again, be dead to sin. Be alive to God. Don't let this debilitating emotion stop you from loving God supremely and loving your neighbor sacrificially. Well, I just can't go do that because I'm afraid. If God says you to do it, you need to do it. And we can show you ways from God's word. You don't have to engage in those family battles. You don't have to be controlled by your emotions. Obedience to biblical truth will liberate you. We can be free from our past, guilt and shame, no guilt in life, no fear of death. This is the power of Christ in me. You know, skeletons in your closet. I mean, as we were talking a couple weeks ago in our growth group, someone mentioned something about parenting. You know, they wish they had were a better parent. And I said, how many of you wish you were better parents? You know, we all shoulda, woulda, coulda. And maybe I guess that's kind of the nice things about grandkids is that we can have our mulligan. We can kind of do it over and warn our children, say, listen, it's okay if they do this or that. They'll survive, and kind of help them out a little bit. But we don't have to have those skeletons in our closet haunting us. We can be free from the various emotions, worry, fear, depression, envy, jealousy. We don't have to live our lives captive by those emotions. Again, Peter says, by which he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. And again, notice that through these exceedingly great and precious promises, what? How does the rest of that verse go? You may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You can be free. And I know this is sometimes, and I know I'm kind of preaching the choir, but it's so frustrating because we can go out in the world and say, listen, you don't have to continue to struggle with that again and again and again and again and again. You could be free of it. And they say, that's just some crutch for the people. I don't know if freedom is really a crutch. You can live a life of victory. You could live a life of substance and meaning and purpose. Freedom. Freedom. And then here's one thing I just want to talk a little bit about here. Freedom from the presence of sin. I'm looking forward to this. Again, as Bob Randall went to glory, you've got Bev Randall looking a little bit more towards heaven. I think you and I, heaven becomes sweeter as more loved ones are in heaven. And as we start losing loved ones, we were able to, you know, just see again, my in-laws are getting older. And they're a year older, and we saw in the father-in-law maybe a little bit of a significance drop in his mobility this year than last year. He's mortal. He's not going to be living forever. And as we lose loved ones into heaven, when they get to heaven, heaven becomes a little maybe more sweeter for us. Some of the younger ones, they're looking at all the fun things in life, and everybody's alive and feeling well. Maybe as we get a little older, heaven does become a little bit sweeter. But I'm telling you, freedom from the presence of sin. I'm praying it's the rapture. Fear of death. I have no fear of death. And you've heard me say it before. If I was ever to get a tattoo, which I never would get a tattoo, but it'd be DNR for do not resuscitate. Just let me die. I am the most selfish person on this earth. I honestly believe, as Paul wrote, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In Philippians, for me to live is Christ and to die is... If I die, there's going to be some shouting here at Oxford Valley, I hope. Hallelujah, he got his wish. I mean, I want to get out of here so fast. As I just look around and talk to people and hear all the suffering and heartache, I want out. I'm selfish. I'm a very selfish individual. But I also don't have to fear dying either. Well, that's different now. But what happens if I get cancer? My grace will be sufficient for you. Or what happens if I get Alzheimer's? My grace will be sufficient for you. What happens if I get MS or MD or something like that? My grace will be sufficient for you. But what happens if I get, but what if? And God, with a resounding voice, still says, my grace will be sufficient. Just the freedom that this Bible affords us is just, it's just exciting. It really is. And one day, we will be freed from the presence of sin, whether it's by death or whether it's the rapture. Would you like to be free from worry? Would you like to be free from compulsive behavior? Would you like to be free from lustful thoughts? Do you want to be free from anger and pride? Would you like to be freed from the penalty of your sin? The wage of your sin is death. Death. And if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And as we said earlier, that's going to last a long time. A long time. We can be free from the penalty of sin. We can be free from the power of sin. And one day, we can be free from the very presence of sin.